Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beltway Blitz every day at noon. What's going on in D.C.? Sport to get you caught up. We got to spend some time talking at some point today, Pete, that the Redskins are offering chicken tenders. That's exciting. They're Guy Fieri-style chicken tenders, which, so I guess FedEx Field is also Flavortown? That's something we have to discuss?
Could be.
Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline here for the Beltway Blitz for a guy that's never, ever had a fried food, let alone a chicken tender. Craig Hoffman, who's got 2% body fat, is with us here for the Beltway Blitz. Craig, I don't know if you've had a chance to catch up with anybody or talk to anybody here at Redskins Park among the brass, but I can't imagine folks are thrilled that Josh Roman ran with the Bulls in Pamplona. He emerged unscathed, and that's fine. I know he's his own man. He's going to do what he's going to do. But I tell you, if I was a boss, I wouldn't want to hear that that's where one of my most highly paid guys was headed.
Yeah, I'd imagine not thrilled is probably the right way to phrase that. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be raging mad. I don't think that it's the kind of thing that, you know, he's going to get in trouble for. Like, hey, is that really what you need to do? Like, can you not wait a couple of years until you're retired to go do that? It's that kind of thing. But then again, I can't honestly say that I, nor anybody else probably in that building, can honestly say they understand exactly how dangerous that is. It seems rather dangerous. I certainly wouldn't want to do it. The idea of getting gored by a bull is horrifying. Or even honestly, like, I actually wonder if in that situation, this stampede of people is considered more dangerous. But is it more dangerous than driving down whatever street you want to pick in D.C.? I don't know. But, yeah, it's the kind of thing that sounds dangerous in football people. I mean, like, I would also say this for Josh's sake. It's probably not prohibited or probably not allowed in his contract. And if I were him, I wouldn't do anything that they could potentially void my contract with. I don't think they will. I don't think that's anything they would pursue, especially since he came out unscathed. But certainly if he got hurt in the middle of it, I would definitely think that they would be like, yeah, you're not allowed to do that, so you don't get any more of your money.
Future head trainer of the Washington Redskins, Craig Hoffman, joining us here
on
the
Fan. Relax.
Craig, look, I know you're probably happy that he picked up the intensity of his offseason workout, but you kind of touched on it there a little bit. Wouldn't that be something that he would have to get approval for ahead of time, or is that something that, you know, because it is Josh Norman, he just keeps it under wraps, goes and does it, and then deals with the consequences, if there are any, when he comes back?
Yeah, I kind of think that's how Josh operated on this one. He had been hinting there was something big that was going to be happening in his offseason, and I didn't know what it was. He's done so many things this offseason. You know, he's flown with the Blue Angels. He has obviously done a lot of charity work in Flint and at the border and all these amazing things that he's done, both fun, amazing things like the Blue Angels or just actual, you know, good things for the world. And Josh is the kind of guy that is always in his, whether it's his community here, his community back in South Carolina in Greenwood, where he grew up, where he had an event just a couple weeks ago, put on basically a carnival day for kids down there. Or if he's like, you know what, I've made a lot of money and I have connections to do really cool stuff, so I'm going to go take advantage of the fact that I've earned this money. This is what he does. And so if the team had told him, like, hey, after he did the Blue Angels, like, hey, that was fine, but enough. And he went and did this, I'd imagine he could be in some hot water. And I imagine, again, contractually, I don't know whether running of the Bulls is technically in a NFL contract, probably because they never thought they'd have to put it. But I'd imagine there's some kind of dangerous act clause of some kind. And I would think running with the Bulls qualifies for that.
Yeah, there's a video ESPN posted that Tom just retweeted, at Tom Daly too, of him jumping over one of those Bulls. So I don't know, man. Caution is thrown not against the wind, but towards the wind, it seems like here. Real quickly, Craig, Bill Barnwell, a guy I like a lot, writes for ESPN. He ranked skill positions among the 32 teams in the NFL. Redskins came in at 28th. I think kind of they were boosted by their running back core. So, to me, their skill guys, talking about pass catchers, not particularly good. But the Redskins seem internally confident here. Where does the truth lie?
I don't know about the second part of that statement. I don't know how internally confident they really are. Like, externally, of course, they're not going to be like, yeah, actually, we're terrible. But they know that the skill position guys were something they need to address. And unfortunately, Danny, as we've talked about a ton, the market just did not play out in a way that allowed them to address the biggest need they had, which is wide receiver. There just wasn't a top-flight guy available in free agency or the draft this year that would have been an upgrade on what they had. They did add depth. The receiver position is really deep, but it's not top-end quality, and that's, I think, what they're missing. Obviously, the best top-end quality guy they have is Reed, but his health is always on some level of question. I'm a Jordan Reed apologist. I admit it. I have a soft spot for the guy. I know how hard he's worked, and I love watching him play when he's right. So I think for him, you know, he's got the best chance to elevate that skill position group. We'll see what the receivers do. And then also, you know, obviously it all comes down to quarterback play too. If Haskins all of a sudden turns out to be some revelation and he can throw guys open, it makes your skill guys look a lot better. Or if it's Case and he's just playing to the skill level of the skill guys, they might struggle a little bit offensively.
I need to turn my mic on. Well, that was really bad. Craig, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Here's a training tip, Danny. Turn your mic on.
Let me write that down. Turn your mic on. There he goes. Let's talk Wizards, please. Bring on our buddy Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington to talk some Wizards.
Chase, so far, Tommy Shepard's on live audition, you know, so to speak, even though he still has the interim tag, he's operating as if he is certainly the general manager. So far, your thoughts on the job that he has done and how he has shaped what there is, at least of now, of this Wizards roster?
Well, I think he's done a practical job of creating some long-term financial flexibility and adding some young players with cheap contracts who have high upside. And the Wizards had lacked those in recent years. Now, are they going to be better next year? I think it's pretty obvious they aren't. They won 32 games last season and are probably going to take a step back barring something unforeseen. So is he making them a better basketball team? We'll see. I think sometimes we understate in the NBA how easy it is to kind of tear things down and try to plan for the future and rest on hope and things that haven't become tangible yet. But I think in terms of what they needed to do this offseason to work around John Wall's contract and to get young players, he has done a good job. And talking to a lot of people in Las Vegas, I think that's the general consensus around the league at this point.
Yeah, Chase, I'm with you. I love what he's done. I love it, love it, love it. It's understanding kind of where they are at this stage. Now, where they'll go is a different story. And that's obviously, this is, I would say, kind of the easy part. The hard part is then figuring out who to keep, who not to, who to add, et cetera. But a couple of guys they have added, rookies in Vegas Summer League. What are kind of the thoughts here on the performance of Schofield, Nachimura, Justin Robinson, and some of their young pieces?
Well, Hachimura has been impressive. He started out slow a little bit on offense in the first game. He didn't shoot very well, about 37%. Went scoreless in the first quarter of the second game, but then, you know, broke out in that second quarter, scored 11 points and ended up with, I think, 19 in the game. Rested in their third game, but overall, this looks pretty good. He's actually impressed me more so on defense, which is his biggest question mark. Admiral Schofield had a really nice third game. So he looks pretty good. He's a big-time three-point shooter and hasn't really shot a ton of threes, so I'd like to see more of that from him. And Justin Robinson has looked good as well. One guy that I thought was pretty impressive, even though the numbers maybe didn't say it, was Isaac Bonga, who was one of the guys they got in that Lakers trade. He's a 6'8", 6'9", point guard. Didn't necessarily put up great numbers, but he moves really well for his size. He's only 19, so he's just an intriguing guy because of how athletic he is.
Nice. All right, Chase, appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. There he goes. That is Chase Hughes, NBC Sports, Washington. Robots. Robots. Robots are coming. We had a debut this week of robots doing something that I never thought we would see. We will tell you what that is and tell you what it might mean in the sport of baseball. 12:18 on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guy Fieri is coming to FedEx Field in the form of chicken tenders. We got to hit that in a little bit here, Pete.
Danny, that's my number one, so I'm very intent to hear what that's all about.
Guy Fieri or chicken tenders?
Chicken tenders.
Yeah. He's the, I believe, Tommy, as the, if I can say this, our resident Guy Fieri expert, I would say.
I think that'd be safe to say.
That's safe to say, right? At Thom's wedding at the Mayflower in D.C., a beautiful affair. First class.
Good Lord.
All the way. Pete, you're darn right.
I know.
Immaculate. Gorgeous. Dignified. Splendid. Serene. The occasion matched the decor. Beautiful. I would say ensemble for Thom, dressed. Folks, it's
was a stitched at the MGM.
From the MGM. Monica's dress, gorgeous. Bridesmaids, groomsmen, everything perfect. The priest that gave the ceremony, beautiful. Everything about it was amazing. Food out of this world. Drinks, perfect. Seating arrangements, dance floor, etc. Everything was just so. Overlooking the entire gathering.
From the presidential balcony.
Well, the presidential balcony was a cardboard cutout of Guy Fieri. Bits.
Were guests allowed to go take pictures of it as a... being a part of the wedding?
He made his way down to the dance floor at a certain point.
He broke it down, I would say. At a certain point in time, there was a moment where it went from, we're slow dancing here, a lot of music with clarinets, to next thing you know, here's Guy Fieri breakdancing. Cardboard cutout. So Dom is a Guy Fieri guy. But here's what we're doing right now. Let's do that at 12:45. Let's get into that a little bit, the chicken tender situation. But I've been teasing this robots thing all day. Here's what happened from your Washington Post story. Professional baseball umps allowed a glimpse, professional baseball allowed a glimpse at its future here Wednesday night for keen-eyed observers of the home plate umpire's right ear and back pocket. A computer officially called balls and strikes for the first time in the game's history in the United States at a minor league all-star game. Major League Baseball in February inked a three-year agreement with the independent eight-team Atlantic League to install experimental rules in line with Commissioner Rob Manfred's vision for a faster, more action-packed game. So there's a bunch of changes, okay, that are actually really interesting. Some of them I love, some of them I don't quite get, but Pete's got those for you here in a second. But the way the system worked was the computer with a sort of infrared sort of box with different cameras, panoramic, kind of the same technology they've already got, looking for a television, or on television, the call of what it was would come in. The umpire has an earpiece and his iPhone in his pocket. What the call was would come in, and he would indicate it for everybody in the ballpark. No one noticed a difference. So the time it took for ball or strike was nearly instantaneous, and we're in uncharted territory here. So the umpire... Long-term guy, he's been doing it for a long time, has his earpiece in, his iPhone, there's some sort of app. It's radioed in, signaled in, apped in, whatever you want to call it. But there are a couple of pitches that he said he wouldn't have called a strike, but because they fit the box, are and were. Fascinating to me.
What was the take from the All-Star game last night was pitchers thought they got more strikes on the inner half of the plate that they wouldn't normally get. A lot of times you get guys hang those elbows out over the plate, have that waistline close to the plate. They'll give you the animated backup or raise the arms, and the umpire will call it a ball when it's very close to a strike. And last night, pitchers felt like they were getting that. The only other thing was there was some brief communication delays between the pitch arriving and then the eventual signal that the umpire got to call it a strike. Other than that, it was seemingly business as usual in terms of most of the feedback, and it has precipitated even now more experimental rules for this league going on in the second half of the season.
Now, I will say, in fairness to this, this wasn't totally seamless. There was a half inning where apparently the technology cut out altogether, and the umpire had to call balls and strikes like normal. It wasn't without
Talk about game-changing, by the way.
It wasn't without its hiccups. And nobody's saying that you start Major League Baseball doing this tomorrow. This is the first time it has ever happened. And there are going to be hiccups in the system. There's going to be 2.0, 3.0. There'll be patches. We'll figure out the best way to do this. Having an iPhone in the guy's back pocket with an AirPod
probably
in his ear isn't the way they're
going
to do it when they actually do it. But just generally, Are you in favor or opposed to this as a guy that umpires?
Done it for 30 years. Look, if we're seeking to gain consistency, then I think I have no problem with this because, Danny, the one thing that we see amongst all of the different umpires that I've umpired with, observed, nobody seemingly has the exact same strike zone. So if we are trying to, you know, make the game as consistent as possible, this may be the only way to do it in terms of balls and strikes. Very simple. Because otherwise, Danny, as we see it, you got an Angel Hernandez. He's got a different strike zone than, you know, somebody else. I mean, Joe West may be the best balls and strikes umpire in Major League Baseball. You talk to players, managers, universally renowned for his ability to call balls and strikes. There's no chance on planet Earth that Angel Hernandez and Joe West have the same strike zone. It's not even close. So from that standpoint, if we're trying to make the game as consistent as possible, this is the only way to do it. And quite frankly, Danny, it's maybe the only way that is dispute-free from that standpoint because it's going to call the same thing all the time as opposed to umpires right now that don't do that.
I generally, if you're asking me binary one or zero, do I like this or not like this? I would say that I don't like it. But hear me out.
I would agree with you on that.
But hear me out. The same way that I don't like bat flips or showing up opponents or choreographed dance every time you hit a single, the same way I don't love other parts of the game where somebody steps out of line and a pitcher throws a ball 96 at a guy's middle of his back. I don't like that either. But I'm still a baseball fan. I'm still watching. What's worth it to me, if this is the price we have to pay to get rid of the Marty Fosters, the Angel Hernandezes, the you could pick the guy that's John Hirschbeck, who's got a terrible
job,
C.B. Buckner, or even Joe West himself, who's got a good zone generally, but can't wait to throw guys out of the game. I need the umpire show to die. I will pay whatever cost I have to in terms of the integrity of the game or how it's always been to get rid of the ump show, where there's only one thing that can happen. Either the umpire can you can have a conversation, or you get thrown out. There's no yellow card. There's no warning. Right. There's no, hey, this is you, I don't like the way you looked at me, so I'm throwing Anthony Rendon out of the game. Because, which happened earlier this season.
Yeah.
You have a terrible call. There's no repercussion for you. Nobody, you don't have to answer any questions to a pool reporter. You get to hide behind your union, and nobody has to bother you for anything. But a player has to get asked a million things. He gets fined. He gets criticized. You can't be criticized. Otherwise, the person doing it gets fined in Major League Baseball. I need an end to those guys. End the jackassery. End the guys that think they are every bit as important as the millionaires who are playing this game at the highest level it's ever been played. F those guys. If it means if I need robots to do it, you're damn right. Robots tomorrow is what I would say. I can't abide those things. And to me, this is the biggest reason for it is to eliminate those guys.
I agree with you. And the one thing I will say this, I mean, you know, in my Ron Ludwig, my good friend who I do a lot of games with both on the high school and the USSSA level during the summer. First thing I'll do, I'm going to give you, at the beginning of the game, I'm going to give you a handshake and a smile because I'm there to have a good time with you. It's all about you. It's not about me. But we see these guys that go off on tangents quickly if you disagree with them. Let's look at the other four things they're going to establish in the second half, and you tell me whether you quickly like them or not. Pitcher required to step off the rubber in order to attempt a pickoff.
Don't get that one. It's probably to discourage pickoff throws.
One foul bunt is permitted with two strikes before a strikeout is called.
Again, not sure the upside there. Interesting to try it. I don't know why.
Lengthens the at-bat.
Yeah, I don't know why
so
I want that.
I don't know why we're doing that.
Yeah, I don't think I want that one.
This is the cheesiest one, in my opinion. Batters may steal, in quotes, first base on any pitch not caught in flight by the catcher.
Now, is it one of those things where, let's say, for the sake of argument, a guy, Yan Gomes, is it, and it just hits his glove and drops to the ground?
See, I think that...
He's not taking off there, but is it now a play if he does
it? I believe he would be eligible because he did not secure the catch.
No, it would be, but I'm saying if the runner doesn't take off, if it's like the first pitch of the at-bat, he's not going anywhere.
No.
So
no.
You don't necessarily have action there.
That's just a batter. You have to determine, is that risky enough? Is that further enough away from the catcher for me to risk
if you start
getting
and stop? I mean, that's one of those.
See, I think if you start, you're in.
Then that's that. So I get a little iffy.
That makes it cheesy as far as I'm
concerned. Like that, it's like that play where if you round first too far and head towards second, and then you get
the look back rule.
The look back rule, exactly right.
Check swing rule made more batter friendly without much more definition than that.
Love that. No problem with that.
And they're already, as we said, doing the home plate radar tracking system. No mound visits permitted by players or coaches other than pitching changes or medical visits. Pitchers must face a minimum of three batters to reach the end of an inning before they can exit the game unless the pitcher becomes injured. Increase size of bases from 15 inches to 18 inches. It's almost like we're playing kickball. And time between innings reduced from 205 to 145.
Love all of those. Bases, again, I'm not really sure exactly why. Maybe it's more guys are safe. If there's a little bit of more room there, I can't figure out exactly that one. But the meetings on the mound is the first thing I would change. I would do that tomorrow in Major League Baseball. I would get rid of that. I would, if a pitcher's struggling, he either comes out or he struggles.
See, to me, I would give the catcher, as long as the catcher stays in the dirt area in front of home plate and he wants to say something to the pitcher, I would not charge him a trip. As soon as he steps out into the grass going out there to talk to him, then you'd have to charge him with a trip. Because you got to be able to at least allow them to have some semblance of, I don't want to say private communication, but you know, communication that can be somewhat guarded from the other team. But I would agree with you. That probably helps shrink the game down, especially 6, 7, and 8 ninth innings. I mean, that's when it really drags on.
Robot umps happen in the Atlantic League. This is the future. For a post. Pretty
simple.
You can
see it at the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs down in Waldorf.
There you go. 800-636-1067. Robot umps are coming. You like it or hate it. Next event.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm willing to trade a lot of the things that I grew up liking about baseball for the big picture. Pete, the big picture to me is if it means I got to have a guy, you know, point back to his dugout every time he hits a bloop single and do some sort of weird dance from a movie, or, you know, guys are jersey popping or pimping home runs, things that I was taught explicitly not to do, so I don't enjoy them, I can live with that because the big picture is baseball. That's the big picture. Same way the big picture is football. If I have to take a certain thing out, if a guy can't hit a quarterback a certain way, not going to turn the game off. I still really like football. I'm still going to watch it. If the game now in the NBA is all shooting threes and layups, I really like, used to love watching Hakeem Olajuwon down in the blender. Really watched him, loved watching him do post moves and embarrass guys with shot fakes and up and unders. If I lose that part of the game, I'm still watching hoops. The trade-off to me to not have jackass umpire behavior at the big league level, anything, almost any cost is worth it to me, even if it means roboticizing umpires and balls.
But I think it helps Rob Manfred and Joe Torre from that standpoint. I think it reduces some of the stress on them because, again, Danny, if we have something that it's electronic, we can't make fun of Angel Hernandez and C.B. Buckner for being as bad a home plate umpires as they are in terms of calling balls and strikes. We take that element completely out of the game. We take the argument of consistency and the lack of it from home plate umpires in games. We take that completely out of the game. In theory, then, Danny, we're making it a better game. We're making it a better game for guys at the plate because they know exactly where the strike zone is going to be, and they know that they can allegedly trust the electronic sensor, whatever it's going to be, however we complete this function of calling balls and strikes. It's going to make the game very consistent. It takes that element of what was a strike the night before because you had Hunter Wendelstadt and not a strike the next day because you got Joe West. It takes that completely out of the game, and in my mind, it makes it better for the hitters, and Rob Manfred clearly wants more offense because offense entertains. So therefore, it makes life even that much easier on Rob Manfred and Joe Torre at the executive level because they're not getting as many complaints about the behavior of Angel Hernandez, C.B. Buckner, and the like.
Let's go to Andrew in Waldorf. What are your thoughts on this, man? Do you want robot umps?
Yeah, man. So I think that's a really interesting situation. I'm kind of working right in the middle of it. By the way, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Sure.
I work for the Blue Crabs down in Waldorf, and I was in the press box at the All-Star game last night and just kind of seeing the way that it all kind of pans out and kind of seeing it, you know, kind of in person is really exciting. I think that you guys are exactly right in that if you can take any human error out of something, that it's really going to lead to the better.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the call, Andrew. I mean, to me, again, I'm okay with a different strike zone because there's a different strike zone for every hitter, right? Jose Altuve doesn't have the same strike zone as Aaron Judge. And, you know,
how does the electronic sensor play for that, for the 5'7 hitter as opposed
that.
To the 6'3
yeah,
guy?
They know what
I
to wanna, do.
I want to see how that operates just to see exactly to make sure that it is as consistent as we hope this electronic box
but
will
I'm
be.
But I'm not griping about human error here. I don't care about that part. Now, I care about it when – I remember, for whatever reason, it's vivid in my mind. Marty Foster called a strike to end a game on Ben Zobrist when he stood with Tampa Bay, however long ago it was. I'm not kidding you. The ball bounced. He called it a strike, and there's no recourse for that. There's nothing you could do about that.
But if you don't take the human error out of it, Danny, then you don't take the human jackassery of the umpire out of it.
But this is that's what I care
because we can't
about,
umpire.
Pete.
We can't argue with the unplayed umpire if we have a set strike zone that is the same at all times. You take the jackassery of the home plate umpire out of the situation.
That's what I want removed from the game. I need because it's now worth it to me. So people, the adjustment's going to be up and down, right? The adjustment's going to be a ball that was high for every umpire for the most part. Throughout baseball, that's letter of the law going to be a strike.
But if you know it's going
to
be letter of the law every single time, you can adjust to it.
And this is where I'm going with this, Pete. A high strike, you can adjust to it. A low strike or a curveball, for example, we're taught that where the ball ends up influences an awful lot of what happens. Well, batters stand back in the batter's box. A curveball, absolutely, a good one, could break across the plate where this zone is established at knee height and end up at ankle height when it goes for a ball. That's going to be a strike, and that's going to bristle a lot of guys. Again, you can adjust to that. This is the point I always made. And again, no one cares about my dumb career. I used a 33.5 or sometimes 34-inch bat. I can't make that bat 36 inches. I can't make that bat 37 inches. I can't go in or out. Up and down, I can go to. I physically can't reach it when it's beyond a certain scope. The width is the one. That's the one that's impossible to deal with. Your bat is only so long. So guys that have terrible zones where a catcher will set up outside, you hit the glove, and John Hirschbeck's going to call a strike. He's got a wide zone. It's why Roberto Alomar spit on him. Those guys are terrible. Get rid of that.
Go look at any of these great sites that we have now that track this stuff. You have umpires that are calling strikes, balls that are 4, 5, sometimes even 6 inches off of the plate.
Which can't happen.
Because everybody, and I go through this especially at softball in the U-trip level. Catcher sets up off the plate. Her glove is completely off the plate in the other batter's box. Pitcher, bang, hits glove. Everybody watching from the sides, ooh, because I call it a ball. They're like, whoa, you know, the catcher caught it. She didn't move or anything like that. Yes, because she's set up
in the other batter's box.
But you do have some umpires who are influenced. If the pitcher hits the glove, catcher doesn't move, boom, let's rip the phone book. And that's not right.
Keith in Hyattsville, your thoughts on RoboWumps.
Yeah, you guys just crushed my point of, like, the human error when it comes to Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve. You guys just, you know, knocked that out of the park for me. The bigger thing is, you know, good for Manfred for finally stepping up and improving the game. Now, as soon as he makes Pete Rose available for the Hall of Fame, he'll be knockout. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, you don't like the idea, it sounds like.
Yeah, hey, good morning.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, the problem I have is a lost art in pitching and hitting was take advantage of the umpire. If the umpire is sitting over top of the inside corner, you know with the pitcher that you'll get a call on the outside because he can't see it right. And back in the 50s and 60s, pitchers used to do it all the time. They knew that the umpire would give you out here because he really can't see it like he should. And the hitter, same thing. You know if it's going to be out there, he can't be very prepared.
Steve, you're breaking up, but it's actually a great point. And to me, it's the counter. So, yes, it will be the quote-unquote lost art of pitching and kind of catering to the umpire. I'm going to miss that. I'm absolutely going to miss that. But, again, it's how I opened the segment. What cost are you willing to pay to avoid the thing that I hate and that I'm talking about? For some people, they don't care. They don't care about the ump show. They don't care that Marty Foster is going to pick a fight with Bryce Harper or that Joe West can't wait to run somebody, or that Bob Davidson calls more balks than 75 other umpires in Major League history combined. They don't care about that. I do. I'm willing to pay any price to get rid of that.
But what slows down a game, Danny? An argument. Argument that lasts 2-3 minutes sometimes because you get the player, you get the manager. by the time order is restored, if both get ejected, by the time everything in the dugout gets back to normal and they resume play, we've lost 5 minutes.
Charles in D.C., what do you got here?
Gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
I'm against the robotics for this reason here. I don't want outcomes of games being determined whether or not a sensor or two is off because of whatever formula that they're using to come up with the ball and strike zones. You have a pitcher that may be taller or shorter than another. If you have a batter that may be taller or shorter, unless you can convince me that the kinks are 100% gone and as close to, I guess, perfect as you can get, you know, my fear is outcomes of games are going to be, you know, swayed maybe to the left or to the right because you have a pitcher that may be taller or he may be just a hair off of the sensor that they're using to come up with the ball and strike zone. So that would be, I guess, my major concern. Mm-hmm. If we can get this down to a science, okay, I can see the game being, you know, progressing along a lot smoother as well.
I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. This is a good call. Let me just say this. I have a different philosophy. If you can't get it 100% right, you don't do it. That's my summary of that call. I don't agree. Can you improve it? Can you make it better? Is there going to be something that it misses? Yeah. Would you rather have 25 misses a game where players can't believe it or two? Or
is
seven,
the robo ump right? going to miss 6 inches off the plate or six millimeters off the plate? I mean, there's a huge difference in this situation. And when an umpire misses or calls a pitch at 6 inches off the plate, he's affecting the outcome of the game. It's the exact same thing Charles just talked about.
Flavortown.
Flavor.
Disneyland and FedEx Field. I'll explain. 3 minutes away on the Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm a little nervous now, Pete. Welcome back. Grant and Danny here on the Fan. Pete in for GP. Of trying an impression that I'm not sure about. So,
but you'll never know if you don't try it, Dan.
Well, that's a good philosophy generally in life, but around here, if you do one that's not good, they let you know about it.
That's part of the fun of the show, though, Danny.
It's not as fun for me. Not as fun for me, but I get your point. Like, I tried Anthony Rendon. It was terrible. I think my Jim Rome is actually pretty good. I've even done a sports update as Jim Rome before. But I did this half-assed one, and Blue Shorts tweeted me, like, your Jim Rome sucks or something like that, which still makes me, so bothers me. I can't do a Guy Fieri. I can't do one. I wish I could, but I can't. Do you have a Guy Fieri, Tommy?
No, but I don't think there's much to it. I think you just have to learn his catchphrases more than how he talks. But he talks pretty normal.
He's got a gravelly, oh, man, I'm just so excited. Like, it's because when I start doing it, it sounds like a happy Nick Nolte or something like that. I can't do the impression at all. But if I could, I would. Because I wonder how many times he's like driving a convertible down some residential street and he just gives you the diners, dives, drive-ins, fried foods thing, catchphrase, whatever that he does.
He tells you that he's rolling out.
He's rolling out and he's going someplace. He's like, at this diner here in middle America, they've deep fried enchilada, put it inside a pancake and then make that into a tortilla. You know, the whole, it's just, everything is just so bad for you and awesome, by the way.
And then you got to point at the restaurant you're walking into. And that's pretty much the impression.
That's pretty much the show. Well, anyway, the reason I bring up Guy Fieri, is his chicken joint is coming to FedEx Field from Scott Allen. Last season, the Redskins debuted a fan pavilion beneath the scoreboard in the West End Zone. To wild acclaim, you could see all the people clamoring to go there, it sounds like. It sounds like all the tens of people going to Redskins games are very excited. An open-air space for anyone with a ticket for any seat in the stadium to congregate, eat, and drink while still keeping an eye on the game. The reaction to the renovation from fans was actually very positive, according to Redskins Senior VP of Stadium Operations and Guest Experiences, Chris Bloyer. Yada, 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 yada. So here we go. At Wednesday's open house for media members and several hundred season ticket holders, which included the announcement that Food Network star and Flavortown mayor Guy Fieri's chicken tenders are coming to FedEx Field. Bleier said construction on the Bud Light Party Pavilion will be completed by Washington's home opener against the Dallas Cowboys on September 15th. So what's the name of this, of his chicken tender deal?
It's called Chicken Guy.
Chicken Guy?
Yeah.
That's the name of the company's Chicken Guy?
Yeah.
So there are two places apparently where this exists, Pete. One is Disneyland. That's his first stop. His second is FedEx Field. Are we excited about this? Well, is it a novelty?
For me, being chicken tenders is like my number one seed. Like, my guy does a great job at Nats Park in the press box with the chicken tenders that they have. I grab at least 3 to 4 of them each and every game that I'm there. I'm anxious to see what this is all about, quite frankly, at least once. It's worth tasting, see if there's any difference between what he batters his chicken tenders with compared to somebody else. Because that's
look, he is the boss
chicken
of sauce.
Is chicken.
Yes, it is.
Chicken is chicken, dude. But, you know, everybody puts a little something different in their batter, you know, for their covering. And obviously everybody puts a little bit of different, you know, something in their sauces.
So that
would be where you taste the biggest difference.
Pete, we beat the Redskins up for a lot of things. And I think most of it's deserved, frankly. But this is not Dan Snyder's regime's fault altogether. Now, he hasn't done enough, in my humble opinion. And it doesn't help when you were caught selling expired airline peanuts and, you know, the food was bad. And it's been bad for a long time. They're trying to take steps to make it better. This pavilion is one thing. Adding new restaurants and all that stuff, good for them. But again, this is from Scott Allen's Post article. The renovation, a new season ticket member benefits program called Redskins Gold. And let's be honest, Fieri's chicken tenders are all part of the team's efforts to make FedEx a more attractive destination after Washington ranked dead last in the NFL in percentage of stadium capacity filled last season. That's with all the seats ripped out. That's with all the things that have happened where they lowered capacity in the hopes that, you know, this wouldn't happen. And here they are again, dead last. People have woken up. They know it's a terrible place to go to see a game. Everything about the experience is bad. And then you include the fact the Redskins aren't particularly good. If they were a 12-4 team every year, people would bear it, right? They would suck it up and deal with it,
yeah,
as they did for a long time when there was at least some hope. Now that people have checked out to the degree that they have, you've got to go above and beyond. So I give the Redskins some credit here for trying. In my opinion, probably too little too late.
Well, the problem is, in addition to obviously expensive tickets, you can't go to any NFL game cheap. It's not just here in Washington. But, you know, you've got to try and do some of the other things. The problem is how much are you going to pay for those chicken tenders when you do get to the stadium? That's the ultimate question to me, is how much does said chicken finger cost? Because
it's going to set you back.
You know, I mean, just like, you know, I mean, that's obviously my daughter would probably eat that. She'd probably eat that or pizza. Those are the two things she likes to eat the most. So she'd probably try the chicken fingers. It's probably something many people who take kids to a game. It's a simple food, something they can eat without creating a huge mess, so to speak. So people are probably going to give that a try. The question is, how much is it going to go on your debit card when you swipe it on through or stick it in to get the chip read? Because that's strictly what it comes down to. It's one of the reasons why people still don't go. Not only, you get the double whammy when it comes to football. It's expensive. And in the case of this town here, our town, while the players try hard, the results are mediocre. So nobody gets excited about going outside of the few diehards out there that we see on Twitter all the time, like Rich Turpin and who is Suzy Q.
Yeah, so now it's not fair for me to say anything because I haven't been in 10 years and I won't go back, okay, regardless of what I'm offered. I'm not going back to that stadium. I can't, I won't, okay? But I haven't been in 10 years, so I'm sure they've made updates. And guys like our buddies like Tailgate Ted who will call us and tell us some of the different things that they've done, the outreach programs. And we see these reports of things that they've done, and that's all kind of well and good. But I do know anecdotally, just hearing from people, the lines are always too long. It's not fast enough. It's, you know, the freshness may be an issue of some of the food. Listen, it's a stadium. It's what's going to happen. It's not great. But I think there's been a drop-off at Nats Park as well in some of those regards. Again, kind of anecdotally hearing that from some folks, okay? You can deal with that at Nats Park. You can deal with that for the Capitals at Cap One Arena. You can't deal with it when you're the Redskins. I'm sorry, your name ain't the best in town right now or nationwide. Your rep, fair or not, is what it is. You've got to go above and beyond everybody. It's the same thing you got to do if you're the Wizards or with the Redskins with free agents. You got to pay the We Suck tax. You got to do everything better than everybody else. It can't just be okay. You've got to be great.
I came out of the womb rooting for the Redskins, but and FedEx Field's 20 minutes from my house. I would much rather it be where it is in terms of location than coming back into the city, even when it was at RFK. But quite frankly, RFK was much easier to get to and in and out of than FedEx Field. The time you spend trying to get off Garrett Morgan Boulevard or getting off, you know, Bright Seat Road, just trying to get to the main highways to get out of there, it's excruciating. And there's, to me, there's been nothing put in place there. To me, that's the most excruciating part to the fan who tries to go there, is just the ability to get in and out of what was obviously at that time a poorly, you know, constructed and fast stadium that Jack Kent-Cooke had to get put up because he was afraid he was going to die before it happened.
And it's not Snyder's fault that they're there. He's tried to get out of there. He's doing everything he possibly can. I vilify him, though, for not doing more with it. So in the short term, he doesn't want to sink money into some place he's not going to be at some point, right? But he's ruined the fan experience, I think, in a lot of ways. Well, I don't say ruined it. He hasn't done enough to welcome fans back. They're trying now, but I think it's probably too late. It's not too late to talk to our buddy Byron Kirk, covers the Nationals for Masson. Give us a preview of their couple series here out of the gate. They start tomorrow night in Philadelphia. BK with the latest from the Nationals.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.